cobblestone. They beat him until the blood ran. They brought him to die on a cross up on high, with spikes through his feet and his hands. You can use him, abuse him, mock and accuse him, sell him out for 30 pieces. Betray him, slay him, do the devil's mayhem, but you can't shake Jesus. A crown of thorns on his brow, his eyes on the crowd, all of God's daughters and sons. They're spitting on him, cursing at him, forgive them for what they have done. You can use him, abuse him, mock and accuse him, sell him out for 30 pieces. Betray him, slay him, the devil's mayhem, but you can't shake Jesus. Well, I've had my bouts, questions and doubts. You know there are those who deceive. I've tried to resist, escape and dismiss, but there's one who's shadowing me. I can lose my religion, break with tradition.
Testament two.
Say I'll hold out till hell freezes. I can test him, try him, but I just can't deny him. No, I can't shake Jesus. No, I can't shake Jesus.
Oh, that's a great song by Ricky Skaggs entitled You Can't Shake Jesus. Wow, that's an awesome tune. That's off of his Mosaic album that he did several years ago. And wow, what a great tune. John Sandy, good morning.
That. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. Good live day. From the Connect Center in downtown Days Valley. It's the John John Show.
The John John Show. The Pulse WV Live. John John, Morning Edition, John John Show.
Yeah.
Well, you look good on TV this morning.
Hey, you know what? I took a bath. I don't take baths anymore, but I showered.
You showered?
I did. I brushed my teeth. I went through the whole. I thought, this is special.
It's special?
This is special. I'm going to brush my teeth today.
Well, I am so glad you think it's special.
Hey.
Because it's an awesome place to be this morning.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. And the only thing that I cannot do is, for some reason, is to get myself over on, let me do it this way and see if that works. Hey, there we go. Now, put you there. There we go. I got it now.
You got it now?
Yeah, I got it now. I think I'm my own producer sometimes, you know, and trying to get all this stuff working. But God helps me. I'm learning. I'm watching a lot of YouTube videos on how to use this stuff. But welcome to the Pulse WV Live, the morning edition. And I'm John Fowler along with John Sandy. And this is the John John Show.
Yep. And I took the high road here. We had some really ugly debates over who's the first John. And I've chosen to take the second position and
You second John, and I'm first John?
You're first John, I'm second John.
I'd rather you be first John, because the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, so I'm okay with that. I mean, I really
am. See, you're already ahead of where I was going, so.
Yeah, I know.
I was trying to pretend to be humble.
Trying to pretend?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you would even like to see where I put, like, Pastor John Sandy underneath your name. It's really cool. Yeah,
I like that.
It's pretty cool. I like that. I think that's pretty neat. So, you know, it's like we're learning, and you can see that John is at the Pulse Gasaway with along with his wife, Cynthia, and John's also on the Pulse WV Live
I heard
show
I heard
that we do on Friday night.
I heard last Friday we just kind of winged it, didn't we?
And, yeah, we did.
Someone said we had more views on last Friday.
Acting goofy?
Than any of the programs we had done so far. So maybe we need to go a different direction, you know?
Well, maybe people just need entertainment.
Hey, you know what? We need the word in our hearts so desperately, but there's no reason why we can't be happy while we do it.
That's exactly right.
I mean, like, I have my redneck jokes. The last one I used, can I share it?
Absolutely.
My last one was, you might be a redneck if you make change in the offering plate. And then as soon as I did that, one of the people in my class said, I do that. I go, okay. So we got a little confession.
Make change?
Make change in the offering plate.
Well, I have seen that before.
Have you actually watched it?
I've actually seen people do that.
I have been tempted in life when I really needed it.
Yeah.
But I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. So I wouldn't dare do it, you know, but. If you do it, then you might be a redneck. And the reason why we've been doing a few redneck jokes is because I was doing You Might Be Religious If.
Right.
We did a whole series, You Might Be Religious If.
Well, give me a You Might Be Religious If.
Yeah, you might be religious if you pray louder than you talk.
Oh,
you might be religious if you say God, because not even God knows what that word is.
Absolutely.
I mean, he turns to Jesus and goes, what do you think? And so there's just a lot of different things we do that if someone can tell what church you go to by the way you talk or pray.
Well, yeah.
If you use the how do you like to interpret it? If you a hack.
All the hack?
Yeah, that's religion.
Yeah. Well, I've been around a lot of that over the years.
I did too. I grew up with that, but Lord deliver me, right?
Where from hacking? Yeah, because, you know, see, the thing about it is the hacking preacher, it's like, is it a learned thing? I don't think it's an anointing. I really don't
think. It's definitely learned. It's kind of like using these and thous when you pray. Not even God does that.
I remember this one guy, he used to pray, and when the preacher would have him pray, he would always say, and he would pause, he would say, Our Father, we, and he would stop. And so, but, you know, the hacking preachers, I mean, I remember this one guy because, you know, we used to do a lot of evangelistic work, and you did too, and traveling and singing all over the country. And,
yeah, on the road again.
Absolutely. I miss the road. Less hassle.
Let's do it. Let's take the Pulse on the road.
We'll sell your house, and we'll buy a bus.
Okay.
And I'll sell my house. We'll live in it.
Yes.
You know, we'll just live in the house. So anyway, this, you know, this preacher, somebody said, will you have this preacher? He says, brother such and such, will you pray? And the guy starts praying. And, I mean, immediately, Lord, we thank you for a wonderful day. We thank you, Jesus. And he started doing
that,
in
so
the prayer.
Well.
Well, I tell you, and God.
So it's a religion that's crossed over into your prayer life as well as your preaching, right?
It can, yeah.
So
I mean,
that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about it in my prayer life hacking, but anyway, that was my whole series on You Might Be Religious If. So I'd throw in some redneck jokes,
true.
Like if your dad walks you to school because you're both in the same class, you might be a redneck. You might be a redneck if you finally get the mow in your yard and you find a car. You might be a redneck if people think that you're having a yard sale every day.
A yard sale every day? There is a place down the street that has a yard sale every day. And
that's on purpose.
Well, here's the neat thing about it. But yeah, they got some really nice stuff, and they put how much it is, and it says help yourself. There's nobody standing out front.
In other words, there a place to put the money?
Yeah, there's a place to put the money, but there's nobody there to watch
you. We'll see.
Put the money.
That's wonderful.
Well, that's just society and where we live in this rich country of ours. Absolutely.
They know they can't sell, and if I can get anything at all, I'll take it.
Yeah, that's the truth. I have a blank sheet of paper today because I don't have a clue what you're going to talk about.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun. I love to get into politics, but I also like to see the humor side. I don't want to go wah, wah, wah. You know, I don't want to be one of those people. I like to have fun, and we do on our Friday program. If you haven't been with us, then on Fridays at 7 p.m., right? 7 p.m., we get together for a wonderful time, and we have a lot of fun, especially this last week. This last Friday, we had a lot of fun. I thought we did. And we talked about all kinds of things. We still threw in some politics. We still threw in some insightful things that we have. What I'm going to talk about, I'm going to start a series on the John John Show. Okay, that's what we'll call it whenever we get together.
On Thursdays.
On Thursdays. Is The Other Side of God. That is a series that I'm starting on. And what I'm doing is I'd like to start out with some just hard-nosed, in-your-face, political things that we need to be concerned about that leads into this topic, okay?
Yeah, everybody's watching your head bob. You're like a...
Is my head bobbing because you moved my thing around?
Yeah, because part of your head was a little bit cut off. And, you know, you can't walk around without... You know, it's just like this.
Then I'm not thinking.
Well, here's the thing. Think about this. Is John the Baptist walking around without his head in heaven?
No, I think he's head and shoulders above.
I think he got it back, don't you?
I think so, too.
You think Jesus walks by John the Baptist and says, where is your head, boy? Yeah, have you ever told your kids
your head's in the clouds.
Say, have you ever... It's like, where is your head, child? Oh, that is so funny.
I would never think those things. That's why we have you around, is to think about things that no one normally would think about.
Sometimes I think things that can sometimes just absolutely just, it's just crazy. Hey, let me say good morning to some people. Nellie and Dad are watching Jackson County. Thank you all. Good morning. And Kristen's watching. Hey, good watching. Oh, I say yeah, that so bad. Yeah. Watching. Kristen's watching. Kristen used to attend our church out in Cross Lanes when we pastored out there. She was just a little kid then, and now she done all got grown.
All got grown.
And Sandy Weitzel is watching from Braxton County. Missed you, Sandy, last night. I understand you were busy. And Billy Harper is watching this morning. And we appreciate everyone watching. And there's other people that are watching that don't comment in. We'd love to hear your comments. We're also broadcasting simulcasting today, a brand new thing from Facebook as well as YouTube Live. So we're on both of those. And then we're on three networks of podcast, Apple Podcast, as well as Google Play and Spotify. And so we are on all those networks. So we encourage you to share.
Oh, I always love to get responses from people, and because you have a lot to say, and we really care about what you think and what concerns you, your needs, and even the desires of your heart. John, why don't we open up with first, talk a little bit about your goal, and you've got quite a listening audience out there, quite a few people, and we, of course, you have a dual church. We have a satellite church in Winfield and the home church in Gaspé, where you and I work. So let's talk a little bit about your goal. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. Our goal, and let me put this on the screen also. First of all, you know, I get these weather alerts. Rain will begin around 8:19, not 8:20 or 8:17.
How do they narrow
how do
it
they
down?
Know it? And then I get this other alert. Church in Wayne County has decided to cancel services for 2 weeks after multiple positive coronavirus cases in their church. Wow. Jesus, I pray for them.
Amen.
I pray for them. The goal is, John, is for our churches to be debt-free.
Yes, because there's so many things we want to do to minister to people and help people. And you're getting this vision of debt-free, not getting in debt as believers. We are the lenders and not the borrowers.
The head and not the tail.
I'm right there with you, and I'm claiming the same thing for our household because my wife and I, we give, not only tithe, but we also plant seeds. And, man, we want to do so much more. Well, Amen. You got to be free to do that.
Yes, you do.
And you got a great challenge for us. And really the people that are listening can be a great blessing in this. Because, as I can mention real quick, there was this well-known minister that was trusting for millions of dollars, and the loan wasn't going through. And finally, after 9 months, the bank said, oh, let's just start all over again. And so he started getting concerned that maybe God was trying to deal with him. So he started praying about it. And the Lord told him that you have a bank. And he's going, what? He said, Lord, what bank do I have? He says, your people, yeah. The ones that follow you, that support your ministry. Well, John, you work on unlimited funds, and I'm really blessed that I can volunteer and help. So we're doing everything on our part to help. But if we could get the church debt free, then we could really release help to the communities, to people, to minister, to witness. And so I think you're on a great track here of being debt free. And we encourage that with everybody. Start with your smallest bills, pay them off, and work your way up. And boy, it really sets you free. So we're trusting for that in our household. Amen. We have the traditional type of house loan and things like that, right?
Right.
So we were fairly conservative people, my wife and I, because we really want to help people. So,
and you do. Sure. You're very, very generous in who you all are.
So maybe I want to give you a little background there that the people could see that what we're trying to do is very legitimate and it would be a great blessing so we could bless others.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, John. There's three different ways for you to give. And let me tell you why that we're asking for people to give. I was getting dressed for church on Sunday morning, and many people have said, because thousands of people watch this show and watch the Pulse WV Live and the sermons on Sunday. And mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard people say, wow, if those people only gave a dollar every week, mm-hmm. imagine the people that we could help.
Oh, it'd be wonderful.
I mean, it would be. I mean, we're talking thousands, John,
of
listeners. And I don't take that for granted at all.
Well, here's the neat thing that you brought out before. Because of the number of people that watch and listen to this,
yes,
your wonderful broadcast in the morning, your Bible study, and the sermons on Sunday mornings, which God's really, if you haven't heard John preach, you need to tune him in. God's really helping you. And they're getting meat. A lot of churches aren't giving you a whole lot. This church, the Gasaway Church of Pulse and in Winfield, Jay's awesome in Winfield. Guys, you're getting meat on this program. You're getting meat in his sermons and Jay's. So what we're saying is, with all the people that listen, if everyone gave just a one-time gift of $5 or $10, right?
Yes.
Just one time.
Yes.
We won't come to your house.
We will not come to your house. If and here's the thing.
Unless I have an address.
You have here's the thing. If everyone that is listening or watching, okay, on podcast or on Facebook and YouTube, would partner with us.
Yes.
With the Winfield, with the Gasaway campus, then we can pay off our church in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and think of the different scenarios. Let's say that you want to be a regular giver. Let's say once a month you gave a dollar.
Right.
In 5 months, you've given your five.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing the opportunity for us to really minister to people. And, John, like you, I see people all the time say, oh, I wish I could help them. And sometimes we are. We're doing it. Who's the first? You made this mention last night in our first Wednesday night service back.
Yes.
And who was the first person that responded? My wife. She jumped up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes.
My wife jumped up.
Absolutely.
She just put that 10 right down.
She did, yes.
She wanted to start it. And so I'm so proud of her. She's awesome. I'm also working on a sermon entitled What God's Will Looks Like. And it involves how my wife and I met and some things like that.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, she's just an absolutely wonderful person. She is just the delight of my heart. And she wants to do God's will, John. I'm yes. telling you.
She had an awesome testimony last night.
Oh, she was fired up last night, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
Yeah, over a sermon, over a scripture you used.
Well, Jesus is so good. We used we started back Wednesday night services. It's called Wednesday Reconnect. Mm-hmm. And so it's open for anybody. The sermon is on Facebook as well as YouTube. It takes about 24 hours for it to upload on YouTube after you broadcast for some reason. But so it's definitely on YouTube. The sermon is, as well as some songs from our praise team last night. And so we were really encouraged by that. But so when I said that to our church about the fact is that we could pay our church off in 2 weeks, people started, and Cynthia was the first one who brought the $10 up. And here it's called the Pulse $5 payoff. And
you said $5 or $10.
Yeah,
so
$5 or $10.
She went for the $10.
She gave ten. And so, you know, you could give $5 or you could give $10. And we will be debt free in 2 weeks for raising that amount of money.
And this church, for those who are listening, the Gasaway in Winfield, these churches are all about reaching in the community, reaching the world, because this is, I've considered this a world ministry, because this goes all over the world, and we get some wonderful responses. Recently, you had a lady that just considers the Pulse her home church.
She does, yes.
And so now she ties to the Pulse. So if you're looking for a place where you get fed, and I would never ask anybody to take away from their home church at all, but if you don't have a church and you're not getting fed and you say, Lord, where can I go get fed, and you find that this does minister to you, then I encourage you to do the same thing. Pray, support. We pray at 8 o'clock every night. Now that we have Wednesday service, it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 o'clock. We pray together. You can get that phone number and the connect number for the code for that and hook right up with our group prayer together. We have Sunday morning services, Wednesday night services. And if it's all right, if I plug this.
Absolutely.
I do a connect group Sunday morning an hour before service starts. I start at 10:15. The regular service starts at 11:15 a.m. We'd go live. And we've had a number of people, without even much promoting, we have had a lot of people connect with us on that. So join me if you want. We're right now on our third part on The Other Side of God, which we are going to talk about this morning a little bit as well. And we're into the meat, John. We're into meat. The church has to go deeper.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that a little bit as well. So I encourage you to join me. And we're working on, John is so kind to work on a podcast for me called Growing with God.
Growing. Growing.
Growing. He's trying to get me to change
it. It's growing.
G-R-O-W-I-N apostrophe.
Growing. Growing with God.
Growing.
Growing with God.
Just ask me and I'll tell you.
Absolutely. No doubt. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you today. And we thank you, God, for the ones that are watching and the ones that are listening today. And, Father, we just pray for the brokenhearted today. And, Father, we just pray for the ones that are watching that need encouraged. And we just pray in Jesus' name that you'll be encouraged today, those that are listening and watching today.
Yes.
Father, we just pray for your anointing on John. And we just thank you for what you're doing and for this many, many, many years of friendship and to sit behind microphones with one another on a joke that we once talked about, and then here we are. And Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We did talk about doing the John show for quite a while, and here we are.
Yeah, and it's
come to pass.
And I'm so glad that you're out of bed. That's
what
Jay doesn't like
huge.
To get up early either.
Yeah,
you're retired.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's a whole different story. I told my wife just last night. I said, "Honey, I said it is so wonderful that being retired with you and working in a ministry together."
It's exciting.
Because what happened was I just recently retired from being a school teacher, and God spoke, made it very clear, I need to be working in a ministry full time. I've been in ministry my whole life in different aspects.
And set under some wonderful men of God.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
And what a privilege it is for you to be a part of our ministry with the people that you could go and just latch on to you and use you.
Yeah, I'm just so thankful. If I have anything, I tell my class every Sunday morning, I pray that I say something that encourages someone.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about. And we want to change.
Yes.
We need to be changing all the time.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, we really need to. And I'm thankful for the growth of reading God's Word. And I said this to Jay yesterday. What concerns me about the Bible is that, number one, people don't read it, but number two, people don't believe it when they do read it.
Boy, John, that is really
I'm concerned.
That's my central theme in whatever I do when I preach or teach, and my background is in teaching, so I love it. I'm really enjoying myself. John, the thought of working with, and see, I want the folks to know, you talk about ministry, it was John Fowler that opened the door for me to step into the ministry.
Amen.
Right? I mean, Jesus. Here I am. I said, God made it very clear, and you were part of this, as well as a godly man that passed away recently, that this is the direction I need to be. And I may be actually, well, he came out and told me, he said, you should have already been doing this. Wow. And I was struggling with teaching because I just, my heart was going in a different direction. And so I just stepped out. I retired. And, of course, it affects your income and everything. And you just have to trust God. Like you said to me one time, if God's called you to do this, he's going to take care of you. It was either you or your wife.
Absolutely.
So I stepped right in this. You guys open your arms and let me come and get all this experience working with the church and teaching and filling in sometimes and just being together. And so we're just really, really grateful for the Pauls because I'm already a testimony to how your church opens the door to minister and allow other people to develop their calling.
Well, do you know something, John? I think that one thing I want to encourage you to stop doing is stop holding that sign up off the exit sign there in Charleston, you know, that says, "We'll work for food." You know, you got to quit doing it. There's this one guy.
Hey, it worked. I mean,
they're making a killing.
That's
they're
why I can volunteer.
Cahoots. They're all in cahoots together. And there was this one yesterday or a couple days ago that I saw. It's like, okay, he's got to sign up. He said, "All right, I'm not lying. I want money for beer."
I know. I heard about that.
That's what he said.
You know what? I bet he did pretty well, too.
Well, I'm sure because there's probably other people. See, I just couldn't do that. You know, it's just like, but let me tell you something that we are excited about. And we can publicly talk about this on October 24th, St. Timothy Lutheran
yes.
Church. You know, this came up on our conversation of the Pulse WV Live not long ago, and it wasn't even in the script or anything for that night. Tim Morris and you, and along with Christy and myself, and Lindsay and myself, we were talking about sex trafficking and how we could put a stop to it. Well, there's an awareness seminar that is going to be on October 24th in Charleston. Mm-hmm. It was approved a couple of days ago, and we have some tremendous great speakers that are coming to it, and we're also going to help finance that. And see, that's the thing. We pay the church off, and then we have the opportunity to give more back to our community and around the world, and that's what we want to do. And so that's the whole purpose of it, and so God is faithful. John, I'm excited to hear what you have to say this morning. Alan, good having you. Cecilia, good having you watching today. And Jennifer Barker, my niece, is watching today over in Nitro.
Yeah, my hometown where I grew up.
You grew up in Nitro?
Yep. Yep,
you
all
know,
my life.
One of the greatest places that you should go is Pastor Wright said this one time, you know, always, you got to go to Red House sometimes.
That's what I thought. I thought that's where you were going.
You got to go to Red House.
Just down the road. Just down the road a piece.
Yeah, you know, people get this thing mixed up. You know, I'm a pilot, and I, you know, direction is very, you have to.
It's important.
You have to know where you're going. and one thing that you have to understand is that people say, well, I'm going to go down to Braxton County.
Oh,
It's so wrong. It's like up to it's up north, and then people say, "Well, our son lives in Huntington." And Christy says, "You want to go up to Huntington to see?" I said, "No, it's not up to Huntington." I said, "From us, it's down to Huntington."
My mom used to get on me as a kid. They crumpled her crackers. I mean, she just—I'd say up or down. She's, "No, it's not up, it's down.
It's down.
Down the river. Yeah. Up the river." You know, we all use the river a lot, right?
Right, up the river. Danielle says you'll get lost in Red House.
It's so huge.
Yeah, it's so
huge.
There's
so many turns.
Yeah, see. Yeah, or the great state. I said, I made a comment.
I've never seen the Red House. Is there a Red House there?
I've never seen. There's a church. There's a red brick church over on the left side.
I'd build one with a name like that. I'd at least build one.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something. You can't call it Red House and everything's.
It's a brethren. There's a brethren church over there. They don't let women in because it would be a brother and a sister in church, you know. So it's just for brothers.
Sisters for water.
But or you could go, like I said yesterday, and it cracked Danielle up. She said that because I said the great state of Braxton County, you know. So
well,
I mean,
speaking of red, you might be a redneck if you keep your keys and your dog on the same chain.
On the same chain. Emmett Wayne's watching this morning. He said Braxton is northeast, so it's up and over.
Oh, good. Yeah. Now he's getting a little more technical.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Up and over.
Up
yeah.
and over. Well, that's, I tell you, that's good stuff. Well, we just appreciate you wasting the last 15 minutes of your life with us. So here we go. Go ahead, John.
Oh, I thought it's been a lot more than that.
It just seems like it, huh?
Well, I tell you, you know, a lot of times people say, I'm not political. I don't like to get into politics. I'd like to lead into this conversation about the other side of God by talking a little bit about current events, that relate to this. And it's really very serious. There is a move, a very strong move, as you can see, to eliminate God from our country. Now, here's the issue. Now, this is really important. Here's the issue that they have. There are so many people, you know, a large majority of Americans say they believe in God, right?
Right.
It doesn't tell us a whole lot, but still. So what do you do with that when you have that many people? So what they've done is they've diluted God. They maintain the word God, but they diluted him to the point where he is not an influencer. He's not a factor in our lives. I'll give you just a little example. Lou Holtz, former Notre Dame coach. And
he spoke during the...
he did. He did. And he got some response from Notre Dame over it.
Oh, he did?
Yes. And
like upset?
Well, yeah, because they didn't like... Well, you know, we're not really here to judge a person's heart, this and that. Well, see, that's a red flag, because if we can't judge anything, then everything's all right. So now you've deluded God. So what happened was, of course, Buttigieg, if you remember him when he ran for president for the Democratic Party, he's from South Bend. He was the mayor of South Bend, right?
Right.
Not doing a very good job from what I've been told. Well, they hired him. Notre Dame hired him. So you're going, okay, pro-abortion. So Lou Holtz makes a comment, a stance on pro-life. As you remember.
And Notre Dame's a Catholic.
Yeah, it's a Catholic. Yeah, big-time Catholic church.
Or
but
Catholic school.
Like a lot of universities that have a Methodist name or something. I grew up in the Church of God movement. I went to a Church of God college. And there's a lot of things that went on that I'm going, okay, I'm not understanding this. So he makes some comments, and Notre Dame comes back with this and that. And Lou Holtz is very kind. He said, hey, the president of the college is wonderful. He's done great things. I'm sure Joe Biden is a fine man, personally, whatever. But all he was making a statement was pro-life. Well, you know, And you know, there's a lot of politicians that are Catholic. You can go with Pelosi and different ones. Personally, I've never seen anybody talk about prayer so much and hate someone at the same time. I don't know how she does that. But I digress.
Double-minded.
Yeah. And so what's happening, folks, we need to be aware of this as the church. The world is working to dilute the name of God. They can't get rid of the word as much as they'd like, and I'm sure if they could shut it down, they would, because they certainly did in the Democratic platform. So you got people diluting the name of God, and how do you do that, John? You do that by offering no standards. Right. If you can get rid of standards, then you can dilute God into a word, and all of a sudden, he is not a factor anymore. And that's where this world is headed. We need to be very aware of this, and we need to be on top of this as believers, that what they're trying to do. This is very serious, and Lou Holtz made comment about this. So keep your antenna up, folks, because if they can't do one thing, they'll do another. And one is to shut down our voice, you know.
Yes.
Keep the church shut down. Personally, our church meets, we use social distancing, we try to be careful, but we meet, and it's made a world of difference. Folks, you can't continue to meet in a car in a parking lot. At some point, the church has to be the church, and we're going to have to take the lead. Hey, we're not following, we're leading.
That's it. You're exactly right. Yeah, I mean, if they told us to shut down again, I'm not doing it.
Well, and Trump made a comment himself, if this happens again, we're not shutting down. Folks, someone posted on my Facebook about school starting back up, and they said, "Well, are you going to babysit my kids when they get sick?" You know, and I said, "No." I said, "I'm going to put my big boy pants on. I'm going to teach them, because I'll be working as a sub if I desire to do that." Folks, we need to grow up. I mean, there comes a point where, do you realize that the kids are far worse off the way we're doing it?
Right.
They need to be back in school. One way or another, use wisdom, use the social distancing the best you can. But listen, these kids are suffering far more from this. This really, really gets me fired up. they're suffering far more right now by not being in school than starting school up. And that's what we need to understand. John, the same thing economically. You cannot continue to shut down. Just the other day, they announced in New Jersey they're going to open up inside dining in New Jersey. They're right across the river from New York. Guess what New York is doing? No. And a lot of people are leaving New York substantially because there's so many leaving. It's very noticeable. Yes. And if you heard Governor Cuomo the other day, he said, please come back. Yeah, you can come to my house.
Because they're going to New Jersey.
Yeah, well, we're at Florida, huge. Texas and Florida.
Right.
People are headed where they're free. People want to be free, John.
Yeah.
And so I will stop at that point.
There's a wonderful restaurant in New York City called Ruth Crisp.
Really?
Ruth Crisp, and it's very, very...
Is it a chain or just a...
It's a chain, but it's a very nice restaurant. And on Christie's and my 25th anniversary, we went to New York, and we went to a Broadway, and we went to Ruth Crisp and had dinner and flew up there, and it was just a wonderful, cold... We went in February, took a tour. We hired a tour guide, and man, I tell you, it was cold up there.
Now, you got married in December, didn't you?
February.
Oh, February.
February the 11th of 1989.
We got married in December, so it was cold on our honeymoon. But
where'd y'all go? Red House.
Well, on the way. We stopped there on the way. A little nice wonderful bed and breakfast. well, we didn't get to do a whole lot. The finances weren't there. And do you know, John, can I just play my violin for a second? We are celebrating our 33rd in December, and we've never done anything special for anniversaries because,
never have.
Well, Taco Bell. I remember once a battery went out, and we had to use the money for a battery. So if you want to support my ministry in any way, folks, just let me know. man, we're trusting the Lord about a lot of things right now, but he's faithful.
Amen.
So anyway, I wanted to open up with that because it really does talk about a side of God. Folks, there are people that pray Old Testament prayers to this day.
Yes.
And there's New Testament prayers. God has never changed, but there is another side to him. Because once his son died for your sins and my sins, guess what? He didn't turn us into crispy critters like he did in the Old Testament.
Right.
That was a tough time to live. I mean, when you didn't walk it right, God would just, those little lights for bugs,
Oh, I know.
I can't stop
myself.
Don't
go towards the light.
Yes, I can't stop myself. So, look, we could go into Korah, and what God did when he opened up the earth for Moses. Jeez, I mean, San Francisco would be just a piece of well-done bacon right now. That's true with most of America, not just San Francisco. But we need to understand that we're serving a God that's holy. Here's the way I opened up my class one day. I said, how many of y'all think God is sovereign? Well, most hands go up, right? No, he's not. Now, if you look at the definition of sovereignty, yes, he is. He's in authority. He's in charge. But because he sent his son, there's therefore no doubt, no condemnation, right?
Amen.
In Christ. So Jesus took our suffering. He took our diseases. He took our for his blood, our salvation. And I could get all into that area. But my point is God has never changed, but he works with us differently in the New Testament. We need to start praying New Testament prayers, John.
Yes.
We're not under the law.
No.
Praise God. We are under the law, and God is an awesome God.
Amen.
And I will tell you right now, to get ahead of myself, as I often do, he hears every prayer and he answers every prayer. The God we serve is wanting to get us to the place where we can receive.
Amen.
The Bible says if you have two coats, give one away. Folks, if you're poor, you don't have a second coat. God wants us well. He wants us whole. He wants us prospering, but he also wants to be able to trust us with it. People that live in this world that have a lot, that's all they got, John. That's all they have. So in opening up, I want to make that point about church, keep your eyes open because they're diluting God's name. How many people in the world do you hear them say, we are thinking about you? Well, that's a good answer because that's all they've got. If they have no relationship with Jesus, if God is not the Father of Jesus, if they're not going through Jesus to the Father and all this wonderful stuff, then that's about all you have to offer, John, is your thoughts. How many times does someone's opinion really matter? Not a whole lot.
No.
If your heart's in the right place, I believe you can help people, you can say things, and you can encourage people. I'm thinking of you. That's wonderful. But if that's all you have, if all I have for you, John, if you're in a bed dying of cancer, if all I have for you is I'm thinking of you, I need more, John.
Right.
I need to get out of the Old Testament praying and get into the New Testament praying. Well, we serve, hallelujah, we serve a living God.
Amen.
That is, you know what? He's a now God.
Yes.
He said, I'm the great I am.
Right.
You know, he's not the great.
Thank you, Jesus.
A lot of people talk about God of the past. I mean, their whole walk with God is the God of the past.
Right.
God did this. God did that. Or they'll say, God's going to. My God, when he comes again, he's going, no, God's right now. And he is waiting on us to fellowship with him, to commune with him, and to seek his face first, as the Bible says, and all these things will be added onto you.
Amen. Yeah,
John, how can you do God's will when we're supposed to work while we have daylight, right?
Yes.
How are we going to do it if we're sick and poor? It's very limited. It's very right. limited. God doesn't want you sick. He doesn't want you poor. He doesn't want you worshiping money. It's yeah. not money that's the root, right?
Right. It's the love of it.
It's the love of it.
Love of it.
So love people instead and take your money and just, oh, bless their socks off everywhere you go.
Well, you know, the other day, I listened to Jonathan Shuttlesworth.
Yes.
A lot. And mm-hmm. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
His family's from West Virginia. He lives up in Pittsburgh. And man, I tell you, I just get fed with his ministry. And so the other day, I had never given to his ministry. I had never given to his ministry. And I'm thinking, I'm going to give to his ministry.
Plant a seed.
I plant a seed. And I planted a seed to his ministry because I get fed by his ministry. So you pay where you eat, mm-hmm. you know? And so how many people walk out of a restaurant and you don't pay, but yet you walk out of church and you don't tithe? And so I'm a tither. My wife and I are tithers. I know you and Cynthia are tithers.
Mm-hmm.
We tithe to the Pulse Church, and then we give offerings outside
yes.
of that.
Yes.
And so I can't sit here and tell you to give if I'm not doing it. So I sowed into his ministry. Why? Because I want to attach myself to his blessing.
Do you know why we don't have a testimony, John? Is because we're not doing what the Word says. If
yes.
you do what the Word says, you're going to have a testimony. And when you have a testimony, there's power behind your suggestions, your instruction.
Right.
Is when you can say, this is what God did for us when we did. I mean, I could tell stories like that. I mean, I've shared them at church. You know, we had a sacrifice Sunday at our church.
Yes.
And wonderful response. And immediately, God blessed us for it. So we took part of the money that we were blessed with and seeded that.
Right.
And immediately more money came back, and we see it again. So I encourage people that do plant seeds, and there's different ways of giving. The Bible mentions four. We could talk about that sometime. But if you do plant seeds, put it into good ground. Find
Absolutely.
Someplace good, right, John, what
Absolutely.
You're doing. That's awesome.
Well, yes, and because I'm getting fed. And I love, and he even, you know, he and I talk sometimes on Instagram, and you know, we text
wonderful.
Back and forth, and I mean, he's like big time. He's like Kenneth Copeland and all these guys, you know. And
does he ask which John you are?
Yeah, does he wants to think it's you. You know, he doesn't.
He thinks
he's
it's
not
me.
Sure.
He said,
yeah. So I mean, it's just amazing, you know. Just but we're all on the same team.
That's amazing because he does have quite a large ministry.
Yeah.
And be able to do something personal like that's awesome, John.
But he's kind of in your face. You know, a lot of people don't like that in your face type preaching. And
right, right.
Well, I
kind of
do.
We talked a while ago about
sometimes
God is using a whip. Sometimes he's hanging on a cross for you.
Yeah.
It all depends on what you need.
Yes.
See, Jesus was all about what you need. Jesus was not having a temper tantrum when he went into the temple.
Right.
I mean, he took time to make that whip. He had time to think about it. You
right.
know, and they always say, do it before you do something. Count to 10.
Right.
He was counting to 10, doing his whip. and it still worked. So he went
still, yeah.
So when God, when Jesus does anything, it's for our good. It's not because you really ticked me off and I feel better now that I've done it. No, it's that's not the way Jesus works.
Well, you know, Mike Spangler, I'm going to throw his name out there. Mike Spangler and I worked together at Poca Valley Bank. And Mike has been around for many, many years. And I consider Mike a mentor to me. And there's occasionally I'll call him. Mike taught me how to have the hard conversations with people. I don't mind having the hard conversations with people, telling people the truth, telling people the way it is. Mm-hmm. And then let's talk about it. And then, you know, you yell and scream at me if you want to. And then let's go have lunch. I'm just that way, you know. And so, but, you know, Mike always taught me, you know, those things. So it's not necessarily, you know, a temper tantrum when you're leading people and when you're trying to help people. But yet sometimes you've got to get people's attention to get them changed over, yeah, to get them switched. And he did that with me. He did that with me and taught me many things. One of the things that he taught me is, it's easy when you know how. That's what he always told me. He says, easy when you know how.
That's good.
And
educated.
Yeah, and you know what? When the Winfield campus launched 3 years ago, he was there.
Oh.
And Mike drove me up the wall while I worked for him. But as I learned, and you know, and I mean, this is public knowledge. I mean, he could hear this, and I may call and tell him I was talking about him. But I learned so much from him during that process. And so you need people to help mentor you in this world, and to sometimes just to do like Jesus did, to go in and just whoop up the place.
Yeah, I had a mentor growing up, a wonderful godly woman, and sometimes I didn't like what she said.
Yeah.
But there was so much love in it, and we were very close. But, yeah, sometimes she'd have to share something with me, you know, and I'd ask her, I said, would you be in prayer with me about this? And I believe there's safety in counsels.
Right.
In a situation like that. And sometimes she'd say, Jesus isn't in that.
Right.
And she just came right back because I asked.
Sure.
You know, and so that kind of ties in, too, with the what's happening to the name God. If you can dilute God into just another word, then your church is just another building.
Right.
And you are just another person in the crowd. And all of a sudden, God disappears. And that's the way they shut the church down.
Right.
Is to dilute who he is. And he tells us real easily in the Bible, I'm a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me. You know, I hear attitude in that scripture.
Right.
He
means it.
He's not messing around.
No other gods. So what's other gods?
Money.
Money.
Yourself. People. Your liberal church. And folks, don't be shocked. We have liberal churches.
What is it that you said? I can never get it right. But what is it you say when people say, you make me mad?
Oh, yeah. That's the way even the world has to excuse the way they act sometimes. Just like we joke about, as long as you say, bless their heart, we can say anything. And we get, or another way to get away with it is to say, we need to pray for this person. And he'd be in to tell all the dirt on him.
Oh, while you're saying pray for him? Yeah,
that allows you to do that, see. Right. So when people say, you made me mad, or I normally don't do that.
Right.
What they're doing is excusing their carnality. And, you know, carnality in itself does not necessarily mean sin. Carnality simply means you live by your five senses. And the church, okay, here we go, the other side of God.
Right.
Okay? You've got the Old Testament God. You got the New Testament God. Well, in the New Testament God, you know, we are under grace.
Yes, not under law.
We're not under law anymore, and we've got to get past that. Because if we live a legalistic life,
right,
God's nowhere to be found.
Right.
And it destroys people. Folks, you can use Scripture to destroy people. Satan tried it on Jesus.
That's true.
He used Scripture, and you think, well, wow, he used Scripture. He perverted Scripture.
Right.
And if you want to do whatever you want, I guarantee you'll find something in the Bible to pervert.
Right. To justify it,
because, and there is scripture I want to get into on that, maybe not today, but talks about how we follow our heart. If you're wondering why intelligent people can do some really stupid stuff, mm-hmm. I mean, destroy our nation.
Right.
I mean, how do you do that when you're that smart?
Right.
And you know they're smart. And you think, how? How do you think that? Because they've turned themselves over to their heart.
Yes.
And you make a choice. Am I going to follow my heart, the flesh?
Sure.
Five senses?
Right.
Or am I going to follow truth? Hey, face it. It's a lot easier to get through life in some ways if you feed the flesh. You know, if I could get up every morning and have chocolate cake and jump in a jacuzzi and watch Gunsmoke all day, hey.
That's what you do, isn't it?
Well, see, now see, John.
Shouldn't have shared that, huh?
Yeah.
See. You know, the retired school pension, you're rolling it in.
Oh, yeah. 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 I'm living on a warm bottle of water.
We got cold water in
No one offered. And it could be there, but if you don't offer it, it's kind of like witnessing, John, if you don't share what you have.
No, you go snoop and find it. That's what you
and
do.
I've done that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's
so, yeah, it's so important that we understand the awesome God that we serve and how important praise is and how important it is to put him first. Because I'm telling you, John, if God doesn't help us, we're all going to be deceived. And what does the Bible say in the latter day? What could happen? For the elect's sake?
He was shortened the days.
Yeah.
Said.
Because, John, I'm telling you, if God doesn't help us, we don't hold close to him. Some things this world is going to start to look good and smell good and be tempting.
Yeah.
And it's full of dead men's bones. And we're trying to get to the place in our walk where God can use us. Don't you want to see results to your prayer?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to make excuses.
No.
I don't want to make excuses when I pray for someone, they're not healed. Right. I don't want to make excuses. Now, I know there's things that I may not know why, and I have to put one of those things on the shelf, right?
Sure.
But I'm like Todd White. We talk about him sometimes, this wonderful man of God. When he prays for someone, they're not healed. He said, that's not good enough. So right. Now I fast more to get closer. Folks, it's going to cost you. There's a cost in walking with God. And it's hard to get people to even slow down to wait on God, John. And that's a whole different issue. But we've got to get to the place where it's not about us, that we do all things without murmuring and complaining, that we spend most of our prayer life in praise and worship. I mentioned to you coming home last night that the most important thing you need to establish yourself with God is, number one, have a relationship. And after that, it flows into fellowship. Now, fellowship is where you are one with God. I'm not saying perfect, but you are flowing in his will and not your own.
Wow, that's true.
So we need to do that. Every time people express their love for the world, they are worshiping the devil. And I can bring that out in Scripture because you either worship God or you're worshiping your father, the devil. Folks, you're not an island unto yourself. You're not doing your own thing. You may think you're doing your own thing, but if you're not serving God, you are serving the devil. And guess what? If you're straddling the fence, the devil owns the fence.
Yeah, it's true.
There is no middle ground. There's no island to yourself. Well, I'm just going to live my own life. No, everything you do affects the world around you.
Yes.
Either directly or indirectly, short term or long term. Everything you do, you need to think about it. Shake yourself up a little bit. Everything you do affects other people's lives, positive or negative.
It does.
And I tell you what, it goes through generations. You're not just stopping with destroying your own kids.
Yes.
That passes on through their generation, and it continues. That's why we have what is called the welfare state. There are generations of people in welfare. They just step right into the footprints of their parents or the actions they did.
Right.
And they're lost. And someone has to step in and say, you know what? No more in my family. I'm changing the tide here. I'm walking with God. I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to have a marriage that makes it. I'm going to touch lives, and I'm going to turn this thing around and have my generations after me to serve God. It may be in the medical field. It may be in politics, maybe a doctor or lawyer, but it's not prisons and dead early from suicide.
Right.
That's our options, John. This is very serious.
Yes.
we need to realize that our life is going to count for something no matter what you do.
Right.
And we need to make sure that it counts for him. So if you are serving the world, you are worshiping the devil. You may think that you're living your own life and you're making your own choices. I don't believe in God. Honey, if you believe, if you put yourself first, you've created your own God.
Because you're the God.
You're the God. You are not going to go through this life without worshiping something.
So it's not, it's like James Ashworth used to teach us that it's not about us.
It really isn't.
Ministry is not glamorous at all.
No, it's tough work.
Yeah, you know, you think, well, the lights, camera, action, but ministry is tough, and, you know, we've all been doing this a long time, but it's serving people, and so that's what I've had to take a step back in doing, you know, okay, like, you know, the school, the daycare, and all these kind of things, and I had to take a step back and say, okay, yeah, all those things are good, but people. You know, you're so busy that you can't be with people, and so that's what the Lord is just really working with me. So I'm spending more time with Jesus and spending, you know, more time in the Word because I don't have these responsibilities of these business while they're shut down. And I thought that I needed them for an income, but you know, I'm just trusting Jesus because I mean he's doing it.
And God, you are a testimony because I remember whenever you left the banking and went into full-time ministry, and boy, you were on Trust Street.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of people on that street.
No, boy, look at the testimony you have now.
Well, God's faithful. And here's the thing, John. We either believe this or we don't.
It's really the truth. Say that every once in a while, but it really is bigger than we think. Look, we can't pick and choose. I know people that pick and choose Scripture to believe what they want to believe.
Yeah.
If you can do that, then I don't want your God.
Yeah.
My God, I can't manipulate my God, John.
Right.
I don't tell him what to do. And you know what? I don't change him either.
No.
And I don't talk him into stuff. Now, I know Moses in the Old Testament got God to repent. That's a whole different story. We could go into that. But that is Old Testament. It's like nowadays, it's like, you talking to me?
You talking to me?
Yeah, see, I can't do this. Well, you do.
Let me give you this. Let me choose a scripture. No, you're good. Let me give you this scripture. We either choose to believe this in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Mm-hmm. Good measure, pressed down, mm-hmm. shaken together, mm-hmm. running over. Mm-hmm. Shall men give unto your bosom?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Okay. So if you give to your church or an offering, you know, just like I said that I gave to that ministry,
yes.
I gave to Jonathan Shuttlesworth Ministry. Let me tell you, I'm going to reap a return out of his ministry, out of his blessing.
Isn't that awesome?
And that's why I gave.
That's
I gave
so
because I ate there. And not only that, because I gave because I'm expecting a return. Because that's how God, I go to him expecting. And so if given, it shall be given unto you. That's pretty simple. There's a prerequisite to God's blessings. I keep saying that.
Yes.
There are prerequisites to God's blessings.
Yes.
Give, it doesn't say take, and you shall be blessed.
John, the reason why these are in there is so that we keep everything in perspective.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll start worshiping those gifts.
Right.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
We know there's four types of giving. There's tithe, offering, increase, and alms. And it's all broken down in the Bible. So what you're doing is practicing the Word and believing what it says. John, that's why we have so many religions.
It really
because
is.
We interpret the Scripture to fit our outcomes. If you pray for someone, and I've had discussions with people in the Church of Christ movement and things, but if you pray and someone isn't healed, how do you deal with that? Well, one way you deal with it is say, well, it must have meant something else. And so we stop believing what the Word says. Now, we talk about this and joke about this. The word all in the Bible translates into Greek as
all. Absolutely.
Every translates as.
Your mom would be so proud.
She would. She said, my boy is my boy.
That's my boy.
But let me say something real quickly to backtrack just a second because it is a huge red flag. How many times have you seen, and I've seen this happen, and maybe to myself. if someone gets on fire for God, what's the first thing we say about someone that's on fire for God? A new Christian, they're on fire. We say, oh, they must be called into the ministry.
Right.
No, 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 no. Stop that.
Right.
That's the call of the church.
Right.
That is
that's
not,
good.
You're not necessarily called to the ministry. Now, you may be, and that's awesome. And we're all called to minister, but I'm talking about the five callings, okay? I'm specifically referring to that.
Right.
Be careful not to do that. If you see a young person on fire for God, please don't do that.
Right.
Now, they may be called to do that, but you're diluting the calling of the church, John, when you do that. It's like, well, you know as a pastor this is true. Well, he's the pastor. He has to.
Right.
He's the pastor. He has to live like this. He's the pastor. He has to do that. Yes, the church will only go as far as your vision.
Yes.
That's true. And you're called to do that. But don't make excuses. When we have prayer, can I talk to our church right now for just
sure.
a second? Everyone else just turn off for a second.
You don't talk to the church?
Yeah, I want to talk to our church right now, just our church.
Just the pulse?
Everybody just start humming, everybody else. I want to talk to the pulse right now. Whatever the church is doing, you need to be there. Now, I realize that people have work schedules and things interfere and people get sick. I realize all that. Please do not get offended. But if you belong to the pulse, at Winfield or in Gassaway, whatever the church is doing, get involved. Find a way to get involved. When we pray at 8 o'clock, if you can, set that aside and do it. Because you and I are noticing, John, the people that do this in our church, they're the ones that we're seeing grow.
You know, that's the truth.
Yeah, talk about that for a second.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, we're praying at 8 o'clock every evening, except for
Wednesdays and Sundays
because we're at church.
Service, right.
Yeah. And so, you know, one thing I can't figure out is why people won't call in and be a part of the prayer. It's like, why would you not? But it's like, do you have somebody that's going to hell that we could pray for?
Do you have a sickness?
A sickness, yeah.
You need money help financially?
Yeah. And so the people that we're seeing blessed are the ones that are on that call. And we have people that go that don't even attend our church that are on that call.
Yes, and we're watching
and
them
it's
grow.
A shame we can't get people that go to the church. You know, I believe that there's more people.
Ouch.
There's more people, and I believe this. There's more, I guess, because people, you know, they take their pastor for granted. They see him on Sunday and Wednesday. But, you know, there's not very many people from our church that listen to the podcast or listen to these things because they see it. You know, they see it, but all these other
that's
people.
Enough, you know?
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah, it's like he's not saying anything. So, you know, it's like. But,
nothing new. He's not saying anything new.
But, you know, it's like. But you have to also understand that there are people that want your ministry to fail, too. So they'll pray against you.
Well, how about that? If not fail, not grow.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, that's the point.
It's
isn't
the
it?
Same, yeah, really, when you think about it.
And there are people like that. They like that small group setting. They say, why not come from a big church? Well, get ready for heaven.
Yeah, and I can't help it we have a big church.
You got thousands of people that you could fill up your church multiple times.
Yeah, last week we the people that watched was well more over this. Okay, do you think? Okay, you take 54,327 people.
In one week.
And that's people that watched everything that you did from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's awesome.
Our church seats 222 people. You take that by 54,327 people, you take that, and that is 250 times. So that means to get that many people in your church, you would have to have 250 services
on Sunday morning
to fill that
you
up.
You could do that.
Absolutely. And so here's the thing. The vision is big. Somebody told me one time, they said, I can't be a part of your church because your ministry is too big. But if I told you how many kids they had, you know,
Someone help me with that. When people say that, I know that people like a small setting. They might be shy and intimidated easy. Well, God needs, you need help with that because that's not a blessing. It's not a compliment. To say you're shy is not a compliment. It's a pride. It's a form. Shyness is a form of pride. I don't want to go deep into that because I'm not here to offend anybody.
No, we don't want to offend, but you also want to tell the truth. It's 9:04, so we...
sometimes we pride ourselves in being
humble.
Shy. And,
I pride myself in being humble.
Well, that's... we are... One thing we need to learn is that we are to humble ourselves. That's something we do. then God does the rest. He breaks us and gets us ready for his work. Because what keeps us from doing God's work, John, is unbelief.
Yeah.
It is lack of knowledge. You talk about that a lot because you're trying to educate the church. And I'll tell you once again, folks, if you're looking for a place where you get meat, John brings it. And I'm trying to follow suit in my teaching on Sunday mornings before him, that privilege I have with my group. I have a wonderful group.
And Sunday mornings, that's Sunday morning during the Connect group with John Sandy.
10:15 to 11, then 11:15 is service time.
Yeah, and so what we felt was that the church wasn't getting educated enough with just preaching, nor being connected, you know, with one another. And yeah, so it's very, very important that we do that. Well, as we wrap things up this morning, it's 9:04.
I'm just starting.
Thursday.
Look, page one.
You know, people have a life. They can't sit here and watch us all day. I mean,
call me.
Yeah, you can. You can. IM. You can IM John Sandy.
What's that?
Instant message.
See, that's how little I know about this.
Yeah, you can instant message John Sandy.
My daughter still. She'll go.
She does.
Every once in a while, she'll go. Jan Sandy.
Well, let me tell you something. We appreciate and we don't take it for granted that you watch this show and that you're a part of this on Sundays and Wednesdays. And we are very, very thankful for the opportunity that God has given us to be able to broadcast over the airwaves.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
You know,
Thank you.
It's just an awesome, awesome thing. And we're just very thankful. Very thankful for that. And John, it's awesome having you with us today.
That's my privilege.
And
you know, people say I'm nobody, and they think that's really cool.
You're
right?
Somebody,
but that's right because we have Jesus in us.
Yeah, we don't want to discredit Jesus by saying that.
No, we can't do anything on our own, but
right.
Because he's in us, we can do all things.
Absolutely, that's
Amen.
The truth. If you'd like to give to this ministry, it's on the screen, P.O. Box 141, Gasaway. 26624 online.
Yeah, be a part of that $5 to $10 offering. And
absolutely.
We'll pay off the church and we can start ministering all around us.
Absolutely.
More and more.
More and more. And thepulsewv.com. And you can text the word pulse, PULSE, to 1-304-244-3187. So pretty exciting stuff, and
yes.
We're very, very grateful. Hey, John, before we go, can you pray for us? Maybe somebody that maybe
absolutely.
Lost. How would they accept Jesus?
Yeah, the Bible says that even a wayfaring fool can understand. He's made it so easy, folks, that if you don't know Christ, or let's say you're backslidden and you want to get back, God wants to rock your world and provide everything you need, and even the desires of your heart. He's that awesome. He wants heaven on earth. That's the way he taught us to pray. So God can answer your needs. God can break those shackles. God can set you free, whatever it might be, whether it be addiction, habits, whatever it is. God is there for you. And so let's pray together. Follow me, and as we follow Christ, right?
Amen.
As Paul said, Heavenly Father, I thank you for being my Savior. I ask you to come into my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
I ask you to take control of my life, my mind, and my body. I give myself over to you, and I ask you to fill me with yourself and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
I ask you, Father, to be the King of my life, my eldest brother, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I give you permission, Father, to have control. And I thank you, Father. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross, suffered 3 days in death, and then raised on the third day, and now sitteth at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. I believe that, Jesus, and I accept you as my Savior today, and I love you. Amen.
Amen.
And let us know.
Absolutely.
You bless our lives just by listening, but to think that maybe we did something, John, to bless someone,
Amen.
To help someone, encourage someone, to get them closer to the Lord. You may be a Christian. Maybe we say something that causes you to go, oh, I need to go deeper. This isn't good. But that's what we're here for.
Absolutely. And thank you, John, for being here. And John will be back again next Thursday with us.
John.
The John Show. And we love you all. We want to thank you for being a part of the show today. And we leave you with a song that we love so much at our church called Holy, Holy Water. Be blessed in Jesus' name.